Yes, indeed. These are the good times. What a great, great vibe there is in Regina right now. This morning we launched our 56th Santa's Anonymous, helping tens of thousands of children, all thanks to your support, dropping off new unwrapped toys in our toy bins that are out in stores now till December 11th. Lots more details now at cjme.com and throughout the rest of the morning. So we launched that this morning. Took the time, of course, yesterday to remember our fallen soldiers and those who continue to support our freedom today. Remembrance Day services yesterday. The Brandt Center was just jammed. So nice to see so many people there. And I don't know, it's hard to tell how many were at the Cenotaph visually. I'd say close to 1,000. It sure looked that way anyhow. So a great turnout of Remembrance Day. And then last night, it's as if Christmas lit up the sky. I've never seen colors dance like that. The red, the green, and kind of purple. The northern lights were terrific. Apparently a big burst of energy from the sun is streaming past Earth, and it's shaking up all the particles to the highest levels we've seen in some time. And you could see it through most of Canada and a good chunk of the U.S. last night. Heck, what am I telling you all the technical stuff for? I'll get the guy that knows everything from Environment Canada. He's David Phillips and joins me now. Good morning, David.
Hey, Greg, I love your enthusiasm, and for sure, my gosh, I looked at the clear skies over Saskatchewan yesterday, and I thought, my gosh, it's absolutely going to be a real show there, and it was. I mean, and you described the colors, just many colors, just dancing in the sky, and what a great time.
And David, obviously closer to the poles, you have better visuals on it, but yeah. It was so deep into the U.S., the visibility, like, parts of Florida were even admiring it last night.
Right. You rarely do you get it ever down there to the Dixie, but because of the very active solar storms and the sun, and energizes just the atoms up there in the ionosphere, and they're just dancing along, and then all of a sudden, what can ruin it are just cloudy skies. But boy, it was clear right across many parts of North America. So it was a real treat. And you haven't even talked about the Grey Cup. Come on, you're hoarding all the good weather. We've already had too much winter here in the East, and you guys look at these temperatures this week, Greg. Come on. Friday, 13, 14 degrees. This is like more than a dozen degrees warmer than normal. And just 1 week of just absolutely gorgeous weather. What did you do to deserve all this?
Well, what's influencing it? Have we got one of those honking big high pressures ridges that have just pushed up from the south, or what?
You're right, Greg. And one of the things we've had to make the temperatures so warm, I mean, temperatures that are 8 to 14 degrees warmer than normal, is the storms are moving across the north. And what that does, those storms draw up from the south southerly air. So you're getting this warm air from the United States, and we don't have a lot of snow on the ground, so it's not cooling the air. So this is really kind of like a mid-November bonus. I mean, temperatures that are just unusually mild.
How much longer will it last, though, David? What do you see in the long range here?
It looks like this week is clearly going to be mild. Now, next week, we see a change. We see maybe a little bit of snow and cooler than this week, but not. You're not going to pay for it. You know, people always worry. You get a week like this, oh, nature's going to make up for it, and we're going to pay for this next week. Well, it's going to turn a little cool for the next couple of weeks, but I don't think any polar vortex kind of concerns.
Not so yet. Yeah, thank
not
you.
Not yet. Absolutely not yet. But look at Sunday. My gosh, in Winnipeg. I mean, you know, I love Grey Cups that are like the fog bowl, the snow bowl, the freeze bowl, the swamp bowl, where weather is kind of as important as the injury reserve list what kind of shoes you wear. But this week is going to be in Winnipeg. It's going to be the no weather bowl. I mean, it's absolutely, weather's going to take a hike. We see temperatures that are going to be about zero degrees for a high kickoff time, and no precipitation, clear skies, and boy, you'll be able to, maybe you'll see the Grey Cup, and there'll be some northern lights to dazzle the upper air. But I think that the only worry I have is winds. Winds look a little strong on Saturday and maybe Sunday morning, but by kickoff time, I think the winds will just peter right out.
So all right. Who are you cheering for? Are you cheering for the Riders or Montreal? I know you live out east. Who are you cheering for?
I'll tell you, my forecast is the West by 10.
And very nice.
So really, and you know, my mother was a great Saskatchewan fan of Rupert. So I really pull for them, even though it's the East. But my gosh, I think it'll be a great cup.
All right.
Just be absolutely great.
Hey, David, thank you for joining me again this morning. Always nice to have you on the show.
Thanks, Greg. Bye bye now.
David Phillips from Environment Canada. Okay, don't tell me it's too soon, because for weeks now we've seen Christmas decorations, lights in stores. Well ahead of Remembrance Day, I always say after Remembrance Day, it's okay to go all Christmas if that's who you are. And today we're launching the 56th Santa's Anonymous. Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME Newsroom.
Wow, 56 years.
You already saw one of the bins in the stores.
I did, yeah, at the grocery store yesterday. It's Superstore in the North End.
Superstore, good. Yeah.
In the North End. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Here we go.
Nice. Well, if you can drop off a new unwrapped toy, please do so. And you have now till December 11th. With Christmas starting to amp up a little more, just take a second to reflect on how successful Remembrance Day was yesterday as far as turnout for the services.
Yeah, and we were at the one in Victoria Park at the Cenotaph. Quite a nice day, actually. The sun shone through some of the clouds periodically for the, you know, roughly hour that we were there for. But a good turnout there. And the Brand Center, too.
Packed.
I mean, between those two, I mean, we're talking about thousands of people out wearing their poppies, reflecting back on, you know, what the day means to you, if you have a family member or whatever the case is. But always great to see a turnout like that.
Oh, man, I cannot believe the amount of pictures coming in now on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page from our listeners. I got one from Scott Hill in Yellowgrass. He said, here, Greg, 6:52 last night. I caught the beginning of the show. Quill Lake from Joel Ruddick. What a beautiful shot. There are so many photos of the lights last night. And if you missed it, the encore tonight.
Christmas in the sky.
Yes.
I think the weather got the memo as well right after Remembrance Day. It was doing that too. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about a sky that could do the same thing all over again tonight because of these solar bursts of energy from the sun, geomagnetic storms, as they're being called. And so, yeah, but it also means, Greg, they're also warning. So along with the show in the sky, could mean that there are temporary disruptions to communication systems, not just kind of around now, but possibly through to year's end, too.
So, okay. Good.
Quit fooling around.
I won't mess with you there. Hey, we've got team coverage when it comes to the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. We're coming to you live from Winnipeg with the Green Zone this aft.
Man, we are there. This is exciting for a lot of people who haven't. 12 years ago was the last time we did this, Greg. 2013. I can't even remember what happened that year except for, of course, the Grey Cup. And they'll win at home, but it's been that long. But yes,
they're all
we're
being so
have
nice yesterday, right? In those news conferences,
yeah,
respectful.
You're seeing business as usual. That's what a lot of them are saying. Business as usual. At least that's what they say. You got to believe if you're a player, you're a coach. It's not business as usual. Yeah. It's something so important on the line.
Trevor was showing a lot of respect yesterday. I did not hear him say, it's our time,
can't,
which I'm glad.
Can't I ruffle any feathers.
Don't want him to say that as much as I loved hearing it before BC. You know what that can do in the dressing room for the opposite. Okay, thanks, Kevin. Checking in with you in just a few more minutes again. It's CJME News Time, 6:57. Wednesday morning, back to school after a couple of days off. And many off yesterday because Remembrance Day is a stat. Some of you actually took Monday off too. So a short work week coming up here. Since a lot of you had Monday off too, this might be your first commute with 11th Avenue back open to traffic in downtown Regina. It has been a hot topic when I shared photos on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page. A large amount of viewers concerned sections of 11th didn't look so great. Remember, it's still a work in progress, right? They're coming back next year. So that black asphalt you saw is a temporary surface on parts of 11th to get through winter. And they'll be back next spring. Crews will finish the job at that time. But yeah, 11th Avenue is open. Nope, not doing it yet. Between Albert and Broad, it is still closed off. But hopefully by the end of the month here, they're going to be opening that stretch up again. Well, they have to. It's inevitably going to snow, but we're snow-free at the moment. I want to take you to Winnipeg, where the Grey Cup forecast right now, I'm looking at Saturday showing sunshine and close to the freezing mark. Kickoff not till 5:30 our time. However, the fourth quarter might be a little cooler, but still even good football weather. In Winnipeg right now, CJME writer reporter Britton Gray has awakened from his beauty sleep. Welcome to the show. How's your stay in Winnipeg been so far?
It's been good. You can definitely feel the buzz is starting here, right? It's still early in the week, but as things kind of ramp up towards Sunday's game there, you can tell there's signs around the city. There's a little bit of buzz in the air, excitement. We were at a restaurant last night, us and a few other media members, a lot of fans out and about, kind of excited for the week to get underway here.
Somebody asked me this morning, Britton, are the Riders favored? Are they the favorites? Well, when you look at Davis Alexander, he hasn't lost in 13th for the Alouettes. Sure, our record. Who do you place as the favorite in this one? I want it to be Saskatchewan, but are they?
I think right now, based on what we know, it is Saskatchewan because there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to Davis Alexander and exactly how bad that hamstring is, right? Jason Moss had to talk about it, of course. He knew he was going to be asked during the coaches' conference, and essentially they fully expect him to play. They're going to game plan around it, but it's still a concern when he does have to get treatment pretty much every day on it. We'll see how well that goes. So the Riders are the slight favorites in my mind just because we don't know exactly the status of Davis Alexander.
Well, and it's kind of one of those intangibles of the game and the cup, and that's what makes it exciting in the countdown leading up to it. But heck, we didn't even face him, did we, during the regular season? It was McLeod Bethel Thompson for the Riders, wasn't it?
Exactly. Davis Alexander hasn't faced the Riders this year. Of course, he did face them last year. In fact, it was against the Riders who he came in to beat, right? That kind of that launched his career. Then, of course, he had that that run to seal the win against Saskatchewan last year as well. Kind of. Some people still think he stepped out of bounds in that one, but hey, I get it. But yeah, so they haven't faced him this year, so it'll be an interesting matchup. And once again, I do expect Davis Alexander to play. How effective he is getting out of the pocket, and that's a big part of his game. That's what really remains to be seen.
I was marveling at how the coaches yesterday were well reserved, as they should be, not trying to give anyone anything to post in the locker room by saying something out of turn. Very respectful of one another. And you got to remember that both Moss and Mace, they actually, well, Moss, quarterback for what, 10 years? Mace with Stamps. They faced one another too, and there they are as coaches. What was that like listening to them yesterday?
Yeah, two kind of calm, collected individuals, as you mentioned, kind of keep things even keel. And that's really just the foundation of both these teams, business-like attitude. Now, not too emotional, not too high, not too low. And I know we talk about that the Montreal Alouettes have just been to the Grey Cup, right? They have a lot of experience. So does this Riders team. Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace went out and got a bunch of guys who have Grey Cup rings. They know what this week's like. They know how important it is to kind of not allow the championship game to overwhelm you, right? And so I think both these teams all week long are going to be fairly even keeled throughout it. But in saying that, Davis Alexander likes to trash talk during the games. We've seen it. And Jason Moss said, hey, I just want him to be him. That's him. So he'll just let him continue to do that.
CJME writer, reporter Britton Gray from Winnipeg this morning. Hey, really quick, traditionally the West Division winner has always been in the nicest locker room, right? But Winnipeg, they had our locker room when they were last here in Regina for the Cup. However, it's not the case for the Riders this year. Why is that?
Yeah, the CFL just decided with the fact that there's going to be so many Grey Cups out west to go into a rotation just so that the East isn't always in the visitor locker room for 5 years or so. So a little bit of a rotation. So this year it's going to be the East. Next year, the West kind of.
But wait a minute, 2027 wouldn't if the Riders take it?
There is the caveat. It is put in there that if the home team where they're hosting it does make the game, they will keep the home locker room. So if you do make the game, you don't have to give it up.
Good to know. Good stuff. And you guys are going to be all over the cup the next few days. Tell us how you're planning to cover the game.
Absolutely. Well, of course, Jamie Locker live from the Green Zone from Winnipeg throughout the week. They're excited to talk to everyone there. We'll have the pre and post game show. And then Locker on the Loose. Locker's going to be going around just talking to fans about the experience, who they're cheering for and stuff. So if you see Locker around Winnipeg, be sure to say hi.
Okay. Look forward to the coverage. Thanks, Britton. Are you ready, Evan Bray? I know yesterday you paid your respect at Remembrance Day service. It's okay we go all Christmas now?
Is that... Yeah, well, I heard you this morning. In fact, I was excited to hear about the kickoff to Santa's Anonymous. I have so many good memories about Santa's Anonymous through the years. Remember, we used to go down and wrap the gifts for it?
Our headquarters used to be City Hall, yeah. And we would ask people to drop toys off, and then
we had mounds of toys
and wrapping. Yeah. But in those days, we'd call on the cab companies.
That's right.
They deliver them. The toys. That's and right. Then you and I and many others would personally deliver, yeah. And we'd see firsthand the need and what an impact it has. But yes, the toy bins are in stores now. Details at CJME.com. How was Remembrance Day service yesterday?
It was good. I went to the Brandt Center yesterday for their service, and I was very impressed.
A lot of people.
Yes, I was very impressed with, number one, how many people were there. Number two, how many young people were there. Like, it's one thing for parents to bring their young children, but I saw a lot of 20-year-olds there on their own. And I just think, man, that is so good to see. So good to see. And, yeah, the ceremony and the service is always nice, but it's nice to see a packed hall. And I know there was hundreds at the Cenotaph as well, which is great.
And you got there early enough, and you had to talk football. Everyone's got Grey Cup fever, too.
There was
they?
Definitely a lot of – in fact, I saw a lot of Rider jerseys there yesterday with a poppy on, of course. But, yeah, that was definitely the way. But, yeah, it was a really good crowd. Actually, my daughter, who works for EMS, was part of their honor guard. So she was out marching on the floor. So it was an extra incentive to be there.
Just had Britton Gray on from Winnipeg, getting excited about the cup. Do you wish you were going? Do you wish you were there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously going to be glued to the TV to watch the game, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not dying to go to watch the game.
The older we get, the less we want to go.
Right. Watching it from the comfort of home is kind of nice. I mean, if it was here, it would be a different story, but
I can't, off the top of my head, remember the year, but the best Grey Cup I ever attended in my life was in Winnipeg, and that was when the Calgary Stampeders took on the Toronto Argonauts. On the sidelines, there was John Candy and what's the guy from the LA Kings, Bruce?
McNall.
He was there, and that's when the Rocket Ishmael. The beer can went flying, and that was just a couple rows over. It was not us.
I was going to say, you sure, Greg?
And I'll always remember my buddy Glenn Suter. That was his first ever Grey Cup he ever attended.
Yeah.
And he had running shoes on, and it was like minus 40. Oh, it was an awfully cold game.
Well, the weather's supposed to be nice for, good. You still have to dress warmly, obviously, for sitting out there, but it's going to be comparative.
All right. Coming up on your show a little later on, I know you're going to be talking about the Misha Pavlik trial that is likely to go to the jury. I know that there's still instructions to be, but maybe it'll get to the jury today. Almost 20 years. It sounded like a lot of people had tough times recollecting what happened.
Which stands to reason, right? When you're trying to think back 20 years, I mean, some of your memories will be foggy, although, you know, in some cases, if you saw something as riveting and as traumatic as this, I think there's lots of people that you don't forget those details. But it's going to be interesting because obviously the jury needs to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and that level of proof, that's a high threshold, so it's going to be tough.
So you'll broach that subject later on.
That's right.
Lisa
I've got
Schick,
Lisa
senior
Schick
reporter
on the show. Yeah.
What else you got coming up?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about budget. Of course, this is the week that Mark Carney is supposed to release another four projects on Thursday. I've got Brian Lilly on the show. Sean Haney is joining me from realagriculture.com. We'll be talking a little bit about that. And of course, there's still this notion of will the budget pass or not? I think there's 0% chance it's going to fail. The NDP are going to come through, I'm pretty sure of that. But, it's still bubbling around out there, so we'll be talking with Brian Lilly about that as well on the show.
CJME News Time now is 728. Evan Bray's back at 830.